Don't look under the internet.
I'm moving this along myself. I'm so confused.
I am drunk, apparently. I don't know what's happening.
So, well, again, welcome to Don't Look Under the Internet. That's Jason.
Hi.
That's Doug. And I'm Margaret Thatcher.
Oh, what do you have for us today, Margaret? Is it Margaret or Margaret?
No, it's Marge.
Merge. I got this flag that I made for us. She's the one that made the flag, right?
No.
Who made the flag?
Oh, what the fuck was her name?
Betty Ross.
Betty Ross. Betsy Ross.
Oh, yeah.
Betty Crocker.
I'm Betty Crocker.
Martha Stewart.
I'm all of them in one. A conglomeration.
Tupac Shakur.
I'm a Cronenberg monster of all of these people.
Oh, God.
Today we have a pretty, I would say, special topic, only because it was submitted from a listener.
Yeah, one of you crazy people
reached out to us
and decided
to torture us a little.
Yeah, just a bit. So her name was Emily. She sent us an email saying, basically, like, hey, Daludi, you know, I've been listening to your show, and I think that this is something that you guys would really enjoy covering. It may not be a whole episode's worth of content, but...
Damn it, we'll make it a whole episode.
If we can make Gargamel damn near a full episode, I think we can make this a full episode.
You're welcome for me getting us back on track so much.
Yeah, that's if it weren't for Doug, that literally just would have been an episode about Gargamel and how he likes to turn. We're doing it again.
Yep.
Let's move forward.
Also, I'm moving. I'm really happy that... the acronym Daludi has taken off, so very proud of that one.
Oh, yeah. Well,
what does it stand for?
Do Lorax's undo time instances.
Oh, that's very fitting.
They don't.
Very fitting for today.
They don't, yeah. That is very fitting.
It is. I think that's why I put it. But if you literally search Don't Look Under the Internet, you won't really find us too much right now. I think we have to optimize our SEO or some shit.
Yes,
but
yes, we do.
If you search Daludi, we are like the first 20 goddamn search results on Google.
Especially if you go to DaludiPod at linktree.com/DaludiPod. Boy, does that work pretty well for everybody. Or go to anywhere that podcasts are and just search DaludiPod.
If you've noticed Mike coddling his social baby.
My social baby.
you get a gold star for the day.
Fun fact, I was on Spotify because... Shout out to Last Podcast on the Left. Love those guys.
Obviously.
But I was looking up our different episode names just because, you know, I was curious. And we actually do pop up when you search some of the terms, except for Polybius, for some reason.
Really?
Yeah.
Out of all the ones we do?
There's just so many Polybius.
That's fair. Things. It's been fucking beat into the ground.
I don't know, man.
It was on The Simpsons. Like, once it's on The Simpsons, there's no guarantee that you're going to have any horse in that race at all.
Simpsons did it.
Speaking, okay, a little back on track here. Thanks again, Emily. Shout out to Emily.
Yeah, thank you so much, Emily.
If any other listeners have any requests that they want to hear from us, we will do it. We will shill out to you people. We love you so much.
We've shouted her out and we haven't even said what we're doing
yet.
Okay, Mike, hold on one second. We do have one thing that we need to take care of real quick.
Hurry! I can't hold it back much longer.
Well, you have to.
Yeah. Okay, go.
So how much of the Queers for Fears podcast have you listened to? If it's more than one episode, you have a horse in this race.
Okay, I would say I think three episodes I listened to of her. I liked her Leprechaun episode recently.
Oh, yeah. I think my favorite was the Mothman episode.
Ooh,
they
yeah,
did.
Yeah.
Well, but that's also my favorite cryptid.
Yeah, he's a good boy.
So as you guys kind of know, last time on post content, we had a little mid-roll surprise for one of our friends' podcasts, Queers for Fears. I just kind of wanted to, I don't know,
chat about again.
Well, talk about him for a little bit.
Okay.
Just help him out.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, they're fun. They do a lot of movie stuff, which I really enjoy. And I just noticed today that they did a small portion of their episode on Junji Ito, which I'm real upset about that they didn't hit me up for, because I own all those damn books and I've seen all these fucking movies and animes. But it's fine. I'm not salty at all.
No, if you guys are enjoying what we're doing here, you'll more than likely enjoy what they're doing. It's horror themed. It's two very, very good friends. They've known each other for, I think,
Abby 25.
Said, 25 years, yeah. It's a long fucking time to know somebody.
That's too long, guys. It's time to break up.
That's, I'd say, at least a third of your life, if not a quarter, depending on how long you plan on living.
One of my favorites, if you want to go back at it, because I love hate the movie, they do one on The Boy 2. That movie sucks ass, but I love it. So, and they talk about it really well. So if you want to go listen to that one, that's one of my personal favorites of theirs.
If you guys want us to do a Mystery Science Theater 3000 style like YouTube video with Queers for Fears, you should message us. They don't know that I'm plugging this at all. But if you guys hit us up enough, we can harass them. And you know,
don't harass them.
Why not?
All right, but if you're going to harass them, say nice things.
Well, I'm going to harass them.
Oh, okay.
They're going to email us. This is our podcast.
Let's say instead of harass, let's have you raid their channel.
Yeah.
And fill it with nothing but Deptford County.
Yes, sir. Deptford County.
County of Deptford.
Where the hell is this gosh dang place?
See, I've never heard of Deptford County.
Me neither.
I have not.
But then again, anything outside of Illinois, I'm pretty ignorant on.
That's fair. That is fair.
It would make sense that someone sends us a place that we've never heard of, though.
Yeah. I'd know it's somewhere near, like, Seattle, I think, right?
Hey, guess where else it's near?
Where?
Portland, Oregon.
One of the America's two best Portlands.
If we keep plugging Portland, they have to let me into their subreddit, right?
I would imagine
I've been trying to get in there and be like, hey, you fuckers, listen to this. It's all about you. And they're like, no, we just want people from Portland.
Three of the seven episodes we've done so far involve your fucking weird town.
Very weird town.
The pod in Diluty Pod stands for Portland, Oregon.
Dick.
That's the lighthouse.
But no, we're doing a site sent to us from Emily, one of our listeners. So thank you again, Emily. She sent this to us and kind of gave us a little bit of a backstory saying, hey, here's this weird site that I found, you know, check it out. It might be right up your alley. And so here we are checking it out. And I'm not going to lie. When I first started looking at this, I was like, why would we do an episode on this? It's just a library index.
Yeah, I was like, so what, we're supposed to talk about this town and their library,
their great public library system?
This is the internet mystery. How does their library function so well?
But the deeper I got into it, the more I realized, boy, am I an amateur.
Yeah, well, I think we all kind of realized that from our fucking knee-jerk reaction of like, yeah, this is normal.
It went from us being like, wow, this one, I don't know how we're gonna make an episode of this, and like 5 minutes later we're like, oh yeah, we can fucking pull some shit out of our ass for this. Yeah.
Absolutely. So just looking at this, what is Deptford County?
Well, how does one explain
Deptford County
anywhere, really?
So let's start with how we even found it, I would say.
Well, Emily sent it to us.
Yes, through their public library website.
Right.
So let's talk
that. And that's
that.
It.
That's about it. I mean, honestly, it literally just starts with looking at their Tumblr.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of...
It goes from their public library, and they have like a photo gallery like link that you can click on, and it just takes you right to their Tumblr page.
Yeah, I think most times when you visit a website, like, I know me personally, I'm just like, do they have a gallery I can look at of pictures? Because I don't want to read anything.
Same.
Pictures. So, the books are for our eyes.
Seriously.
Aren't books just books for your eyes?
No, those are shit.
Books. They're words for your eye holes.
For your mouth.
Oh my god.
Delete what I said before, Jason, and instead replace the audio with, I'm smart.
Can we just get the guy from Rick and Morty being like, those are my eye holes.
eye hole, man.
Anyways, so, I mean, looking into their Tumblr, which is a direct link from their library page, which, to me, is kind of confusing because I don't know many libraries that have a Tumblr page out of all social medias.
Same.
You know, it's not the weirdest thing I've found on the internet, so.
No, no.
We could do a season on weird shit you found. You used to watch full-length movies on Pornhub, so.
Okay, real quick.
They have them. It's not about the porn. It's about how I can find Cars 2 on Pornhub, and it's ad-free.
Man, I need to teach you how to torrent a fucking movie. It takes 2 whole minutes.
Why would I do that when I can just type in Pornhub.com? They also have Game Grumps episodes on there, if you need to know.
What? So does YouTube.
Yeah, but it's different, because then I can click over on boobies. It's right there.
Same screen.
You've got your cream pies, you've got Game Grumps, and then you've got your double penetration. It's all right there.
Yeah.
It's like a sexy sandwich.
Yes.
I would love to be sandwiched.
Let's get off the fact that I go to Pornhub to watch movies. Let's go somewhere else with this conversation.
Well, I mean, it's a good transition, because I used to use Tumblr purely for the porn, and they don't have that anymore, so I don't use Tumblr. But that being said, this library does. So, one of the things is, their Tumblr mentions the word, like, live and well in Cascadia.
Oh, yeah, like, good luck finding us.
Yeah.
The spirit of Cascadia is alive and well in Deptford.
That's exactly what it is. Deptford, not what I said, but Deptford, what you said. Yeah.
Deptford seems like the Carmen Sandiego of people. It's just...
Again, isn't Carmen Sandiego the Carmen, I mean, the San, Carmen Diego San Diego of people? Of counties.
This is where I post my retirement from the podcast. I mean, of counties. It's the Carmen San Diego of counties, because they're... What do they say again? They're like...
Where in the world
Where in the world is... We catch us if you can in Cascadia. And she's doing the same type of thing. She's running all around. You know what I mean? Go, Doug, go.
So that being said, Cascadia, if you look that up, because I had no idea what exactly that was, is a bioregion and bioregional movement located within the western region of North America. Potential boundaries differ, with some drawn along existing political state and provincial lines, others drawn along larger ecological, cultural, political, and economic boundaries. The boundaries are generally those defined by the Cascadia bioregion, which is all kind
of part of Canada, some of like Washington and Oregon, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Maybe like a small chunk of like Northern California, but it's basically along the West Coast for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at their Tumblr, it's really, really kind of just a lot of like nature photos and
tons.
There's a few people that they like consistently reblog their posts. So if you're unfamiliar with Tumblr, it's basically you either post pictures or you reblog other people's pictures, and it's just a picture blog.
Is that like a retweet on Twitter?
Pretty much.
Yeah, more or less.
I've never been on Tumblr, so I
have a Tumblr, and it was a lot of fun back in the day. It was just very like
pornographic.
Well, when I actually used Tumblr, it wasn't just pornography. There was a lot of pornography on Tumblr, but
there was also smut.
Smuff. But there in particular are these like nature hiking, like nice, you know, beautiful sunsets and stuff like that, and they take a lot of pictures from this two accounts in particular that I noticed, called Burning Mime and the 69th Dimension. Both of their blogs are pretty much just more nature and hiking, and that's it.
I will say the 69th Dimension,
they post more.
He does experimental photography, yeah, which was pretty cool, actually. Some of his stuff is actually really, really awesome, so check that Tumblr out if you want.
I kind of
want
to message him and be like, can we just have your art? Because it's very similar to what we use.
Yeah, right.
Very, very similar.
A lot of long aperture settings and stuff like that, which make the photos look really, really cool. But
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's just like, you get a lot of these pictures, but then there are a few like actual word written posts. The newest post they have is actually from March 2021. But
recent.
Very recent, actually. But the last post before that newest post was actually from March of 2020. So there's this weird year of silence. I mean, that does fall right in place with the whole pandemic happening and all that shit. So
that's a good
you never know, right?
Yeah, especially so, in the past year.
Whoever was taking care of the public library's social media Tumblr just wasn't an essential worker. So it got kind of laid off for the time being.
Sorry, Barb, but sometimes it happens.
Barb's our friend who's a librarian.
So you get all this nature stuff, but they, like I said, they have a couple of these word blogs that they posted. We get one from February 23rd of 2014, and all it says is, remember, February ends on the 26th.
Thanks.
But no. It doesn't, though.
It sure didn't.
Maybe a leap year?
That's 29.
I thought all February's ended in 29.
Nope, 28.
Oh.
29th is the leap year. Mm-hmm. So once every 4 years.
I'm learning.
Never 26.
Yeah, that would be...
Except for, obviously, in Deptford, apparently.
Yeah, so that's a weird one. They mentioned that there was a big Doctor Who movie gathering that played at the AMC 14 that Angela Kay, the manager, was really excited for people to come down. And then we get... I'm kind of going backwards on this. I'm just... Because Tumblr goes from, you know, newest to the least latest post.
That's okay.
So then we get October 9th, 2013... they announce a poetry reading with an appearance by the mayor, and that it will all take place at the coffee house.
Is it the mayor from Nightmare Before Christmas?
I wish. That'd be cool.
That would be great.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Spinny head, zippy mouth, and everything. Happy sad.
Mayor Spinny Head Zippy Mouth.
That's his actual Christian name.
But yeah, other than that, we have another post on September 16th of 2013 about an annual beer tasting at WC Brewery, and they mentioned that the mayor, Mayor Fiorello, would be there, and that I guess some caterers were going to be there, and they were really excited about the turnout, and this was, their names were Ptolemy and Mama Rosa. Just kind of digging into some of these names, didn't find much. Mayor Fiorello, if you look him up, all you get on like Google is just a mayor from back in the day from New York, who was apparently like the best mayor they ever had, did a bunch of like good political things. And
what about Rudy Giuliani though?
Okay
yeah, all right. I'm gonna skip that.
He helped us
America's mayor for the month after 9/11.
Yes,
and then he turned into
he's America's mayor still.
And if you want to contact him, just start searching, like, just lawn find and Trump's garden boot. Shops. God damn it.
Got he.
Look up.
Get that political
younger woman.
Hot take. Oh, yep. Yeah. Just watch the Borat movie, honestly.
Yeah.
The second one.
But yeah, so you get, like I said, you get Fiorello Henry LaGuardia from New York. Like I said, people claim that he's the best mayor New York ever had. Don't know what that has to do with anything, but that's all I could find. And then Ptolemaeus, just because the name is kind of odd, I looked that up. They were a mathematician, astronomer, yep. natural philosopher, geographer, and astrologer.
Damn.
Wrote several scientific works, three of which were important to later Byzantine, Islamic, and Western European science.
Important for laser eye surgery.
Man, that's... some old research for laser eye surgery.
I don't know. But other than that, their Tumblr kind of doesn't have much to work with. The only other thing I saw was they mentioned that some, you know, stuff happened on Route 33. There was a minor fender bender or something like that.
It seems like a bunch of updates.
Yeah, it's pretty much that. And I mean, not that it matters, but like I couldn't even like Google find a Route 33 in the Washington region. So I was just like, all right, whatever.
It might have been renamed or something.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, they could have.
So besides the Route 33 thing, the last thing I noticed on their Tumblr was at the very bottom, you see it says Observer. That's a word. Observer theme by Zach Sultan. And when you click on that, which I wasn't really expecting to be able to click on, it brings you to Zach Sultan's product designer at Slack page. It's very weird. It's like his own blog, and it just leads you into these weird series of pictures, his Twitter, just a bunch of weird things.
His Twitter's strange.
I'm sorry. I know. Isn't Sultan from fucking
not Zoltan.
Dude, where's my car? Okay.
Not Zoltan. Sultan. Oh, yeah. Zach Sultan. Yeah. Not,
Zoltan.
not that.
Okay, cool.
It's, if you guys want to visit his Twitter, what? Go ahead.
I was just, you gave me that, like, side eye. Like, I looked at you, you're just like, no. And I think you knew what I was talking about.
I did. I was like, I see where you're going, but...
The hamster's wheel is moving slowly.
And... The hamster has a flat tire.
Well, so, like, you get all these weird pictures, like, just off the bat, like, some of the first things you see is, like, we are not going in circles, we are going upwards. The path is a spiral, and we have already climbed the steps. And it also says that he works for Slack, which, those of you who don't know, I use Slack as a company-wide chat platform where I work. And I'm pretty sure Kelly does, too, but it's just, like, who is this man, and why is he posting this weird shit when he's building platforms for Slack?
Yeah.
And why is he building Deptford County's library Tumblr?
Right.
Maybe they paid him very handsomely.
I mean,
if they did, where's his name aside from right at the bottom?
Yeah, like,
why isn't he a part of it? It's just strange.
He's like, I have the answers here. I'm an idiot.
To be fair, it's like a very local, like, website. Like, it's meant for one town. It's not like you're going to Google where they have their fucking attributions and, like, all their shit nailed down because they have to, because they're Google. This is just a website for a town. So it's like, okay, well, Zach Sultan was a part of some stuff. Here. Let's not highlight his link. Make you search
for
it.
Hide him at the bottom.
Right.
Yeah, it is strange, and like I said, his blog is even more strange, just considering that the, like, the clickable links are, you know, to his blog homepage, to the internet ads, which are just more weird pictures, his Twitter account, and then an archive of all of his stuff, and, I mean, you could spend a whole day just clicking through this crap and seeing the weird things that he's posting, but that as far as the Tumblr goes, that's pretty much where we end on that note.
Yeah, there's not much substance there. There is no substance here.
Oh, the callback. Another callback. There's a bit more, like, not necessarily on the Tumblr page, but on the public library page in general.
It's almost like an update board.
Yeah, like the public notices and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so on the public library website, you'll see another sidebar where it's about public notices, where it gives you, like, updates on what's going on around the town. And it's little things, like there's one about a cat that was found with a collar that reads Mittens, and there's a response back that says, you know, Mittens was found, or I don't want that cat anymore, just keep him. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of funny. There's another one where it's like, because Deptford is spelled Deptford, there's one that the title is just the P in Deptford, and then
flip it upside down.
Let's make it a B to make it more
How well our government is
to display how the government's
things.
Going. And there's another one that's just fish compost. You open it up, it just says fish compost.
That is my favorite link on this entire site. It's fantastic.
It's amazing. There's a bunch of, like, updates, which is fun. There's also another one that talks about a storm that they had. Apparently, at some point, like, the Seattle area went, like, 2 months without sunshine and just rain and stuff, which is pretty depressing.
It's but very also, common, though, for that area.
You know, a funny joke about Seattle?
Go ahead.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
It rains there.
This episode is brought to you by Maker's Mark.
The liquid courage you need to make a podcast.
Other than that, though, there's not much on here that matters to right now. Like, again, there's another one that's like moral winters, where it's like, forget about the sun for right now. I want those delinquents out of here. And it's just well, some,
like,
weird shit.
It's like if you visit your local town's notice page.
Yeah, I'll do you even one better. It go to your, like, if you live in, like, a condo complex, or, like, how I live in an area that has a Facebook page, go to your condo complex's Facebook page. That's kind of what this looks like a little bit.
Have you guys ever seen, like, the Ring like the doorbell ring things people can talk about their community. That's what this reminds me of too.
Yeah, yeah,
well,
yeah.
The fun thing is too, you can submit a post as well.
Oh, I did.
I did too.
Fantastic. It didn't get posted.
Nope.
I'm sure it got filtered
out.
People at
home, if you want to submit a post, go ahead.
Please. Just, everybody that listens to this, please just bombard.
Diluti brought me here.
Yes.
Yes.
Don't look under the internet. Let them know. Blow them up.
Yeah.
Right up their butthole.
There is.
Blow their butthole.
There is one link on up here, which is pretty. There is one link on here, which I highly recommend looking at. All of you at home that are listening to this, I don't want to start a trend here by saying, follow fucking along, but this gets interesting the more you look at it. So I highly recommend looking at this stuff along with us, because you're going to be very entertained by looking at this physically while also listening to an audio description of stuff.
Absolutely.
So
and if you're here, you were probably interested in the same shit that we are.
Yeah. So really, all you have to really do, the website for the public notices is deptford.neocities.org, and that gives you a link back to the public library's link as well. So you can explore all of this with us if you want to. I highly recommend it.
When I saw the NeoCities link, like title, I got really excited because I thought it was going to take me to Neopets.
Oh my god! All of mine are dead.
Oh yeah, I'm sure all of mine are dead.
I haven't fed them in years.
Oh, I was like 11.
Blamfort's dead.
Blamfort.
Yeah,
I'm pretty
that was
sure.
My fish thing's name.
I'm sorry.
Jet Sam.
Yeah.
Yes.
His name was Jet Sam.
Are we that's do a like fucking Neopets episode?
We might as well,
because I used to play that in like middle school when I had nothing better to do.
Dude, it was like I would come home from school. I would get on the computer. I would spend some time on Neopets. I would play, I think it was called like Mafia Wars or some bullshit,
yep,
where you were
yep,
like
yep,
doing
yep.
some weird things.
Yes.
And then playing RuneScape.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. QB108. That's my RuneScape username. Find me. That's a subtle Naruto reference right there.
My buddies was literally up the butt T69.
Fuck yeah.
Of course. Of course it was.
Like,
for those of you who don't know, Neopets is like Tamagotchi for dickheads, more or less.
I cannot believe I'm the one that's going to do this. I'm going to get us back on track here.
Oh my god, thank
Holy
you.
Holy shit, please.
Oh my god.
To be fair, me and Jason have been drinking quite a bit tonight, and we have no filter anymore, so there we go.
No.
So the one strange link that you find on the public notices form is a link titled Weird Link on Library Homepage.
Would you Jason, say it's weird?
I would say it's pretty dang weird.
Well,
pretty dang fun. Jason, you give me, you go, you tell me a thing about this, and I'll tell you how it's fun and weird.
Okay, I expect you to do that.
Okay.
Okay, so Mike's going to tell you how this is fun and weird. There's a link here.
It's fun.
That says weird link on library homepage.
That's weird.
Bases covered. So you click on it and it just says, notice something on the DCPL homepage after screwing around source. Might just be a cataloging glitch. I don't know. And it says, check it out. And it's a link. And if you click it, it takes you to kind of like a directory. But
yeah,
it just says index missing. And then it gives you five different options that are all links. And the first one says The Saint, followed by Shoutbox, Transmissions from Homestead, Trudy House, and The Vents. At all? So far, this has been a normal fucking library index page, basically informing you about what's happening in the town of Deptford County. And then you get here. None of these things make sense. So if you click through them, you're going to find a bunch of different... it's going to link you to different areas. The first one being The Saint. Now, The Saint is a... I think it's like a 30-page-ish like short story.
Yeah, I didn't expect to find literature on a public library website.
Oh, you didn't?
So I just want to clarify a few things here. There's so much that surround Deptford County. We all kind of took our own pathways through this. So, yeah. Like, some of us haven't read everything on this. So if you hear us being confused, that's why.
Yeah. It's because, like, the things that I present as, like, information is new to both Mike and Doug. The things that Doug's going to talk about might be new to Mike and I. Like, we break it up because we have to break it up. Yeah, otherwise, we'd release, I don't know, one episode a month.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. The amount that we discovered in this that is really fun, it was enough to break up between the three of us to where some of us don't have all the info while others have a little bit more or less, and we broke it up respectably because putting all that on one person is
sucks.
Each of us is crazy. So this is very well one of those things where, you know, we're going to be learning as we go just as much as you people are.
Yeah, we each have our own expertise in different areas of each topic that we go over, if you guys haven't noticed that yet. If you're just joining us for the first time,
hi!
Go back to the beginning. You're in the wrong spot.
Yeah, stop starting podcasts halfway through.
You can start here. It's fine. I still love you.
Mike, what's our podcast name? For those people who are joining us halfway through the goddamn episode.
It's Don't Look Under the Internet.
Perfect.
Welcome to Dilute Pod. You can find us at linktree.com/DiluteyPod. Or Jesus. Even on like YouTube, if you look up Don't Look Under the Internet. Or I'm pretty sure Dilute Pod as well.
He's going to keep going.
Shameless plug for the podcast that you're listening to. Here we go.
Because apparently you don't know about it. But... So this hidden index, or this missing index on the Deptford County Public Library page, the first selection is called The Saint, and it takes you to this short story, a PDF of a short story about something. It's titled Saint Concubine. I'm not going to lie, I was real sad.
Isn't a concubine like a Japanese
concubine
prostitute?
It's just a prostitute. Oh. It doesn't have to be Japanese.
Oh,
prostitute.
God.
It's just, like, overall prostitute.
Oh, okay. I thought concubine was, like, I've never heard that in, like, America. I don't go to Vegas and the people that...
You want to meet up with a concubine, well, no, sweetheart?
It's, like, a fucking 14th century term.
Yeah, you know what? Like, we got a bunch of concubines over here.
So, wait, have you gone to Vegas and you were like, hey, where are the hookers at?
No, but they're on the street. You know where they're at.
You don't That's have to ask.
Well, next time you see one.
It's calling them hooker or concubine. That's the problem.
Choose concubine. It's they prefer it more.
It's like formal.
Are you a concubine? Why, yes, sir, I am. Would you like me to suckle your penis tip?
No, they're going to be like, would you like to have coitus?
All proper.
It's the professional.
Is my ankle sexy?
Ma'am.
That's just enough ankle. So the story Saint Concubine, again, please feel free to read any of these. They're all pretty decently written literature. This one will make you very sad. It's literally about this girl who goes to school, has an abusive father, a mother that drinks. She gets pregnant, and then her mother dies, and her father just leaves. And she's left to just be by herself. And she has to basically decide if she wants to keep this baby or not. She does keep the baby. Mike, your allergies.
Yeah, my allergies are awful today.
God.
They're awful almost every time we record.
Well, it makes you sound like a dog.
I know. It's a sinus issue.
But yeah, it's the story of this girl who basically he tries to make it through all of these different life hardships, and it ends with her family dying. That's
what a great story to read to your children.
I don't know what to pull from it because I was just fucking sad the whole time. I looked through names. I looked through different accounts. The only thing that stood out was really that this is located around Deptford County. They mentioned Seattle, they mentioned Washington, they mentioned Oregon. Like, it's here. But the girl herself, she lives in, like, Indiana or something.
Like the classic Indiana concubine.
The majority of this story takes place in Indiana. And they mention, she goes to Burning Man and she fucks some guy that gets her pregnant. And it's just depressing. I mean... Can you imagine a more depressing story than some girl who just gets knocked up at Burning Man loses her family and now has to figure out how to deal with life.
I'm sure that happens every year.
It does, but no one writes short stories about it.
Well, there's that one book, Precious, or the movie Precious.
Okay.
Based off the book that I don't remember the name of. That's a pretty depressing book.
There's a lot of very depressing events that happen. All I'm saying is that this shares that tag with those things.
You're not wrong.
Depressing.
Yes.
You know what else is depressing?
Hmm.
9/11.
Never forget.
Never forget.
Rudy Giuliani.
God damn it. Full circle?
Full ass.
Full ass. Always full ass. But no, like, there's not a whole lot to this Saint Concubine story. It's well written, but I don't know what has to do with the Deptford County Public Library.
Well, it is a story. Story book. Book library. Well, chain reaction here.
Like, I just don't know what it's doing on like a hidden archive. Like, why isn't it up front? Why do you have to dig through 4 pages of bullshit to get to it?
Let's ask Zach Sultan.
Why do you have to bypass a fucking link called Fish Compost to get to this? I don't understand.
That's what's important.
This doesn't seem like one of those things that, you know, when you're in Deptford County, they have on one of their, like, pamphlets at a rest stop.
That's fair. That's very fair.
Right next to the gas station sushi.
Yeah. Which sometimes you need to eat to get worms. And then the worms make you better people.
Nice Futurama
reference. I love the Futurama reference.
It's one of the better episodes.
Oh, God, yes.
So the Saint Concubine was not the only thing on that list, right?
No, there's 5 separate missing links, I guess we can call them. The second one is titled Shoutbox, which it led me to a bunch of conclusions right off the bat. It's interesting. So it leads you to this video that's posted on YouTube. So you could actually find the Deptford County YouTube channel if you want. It's got a few videos on there. And they go over things that are kind of similar to this. They're similar, but they all are very disjointed. So the second one is called Shoutbox. And it...
Bird Scooter! This episode is brought to you by the Big Red Button Podcast.
Do you know what you'd do in a nuclear apocalypse?
Because we sure as quack don't.
See how our choices get us into trouble and back out again in this actual play podcast.
Big Red Button is for lovers of the Fallout franchise, choose your own adventures, and tabletop role-playing games rolled into one big audio drama.
Our band of stragglers is unraveling a mystery in the wasteland, and we're at the mercy of the roll of the dice.
So grab your Geiger counters, take your rat away, and subscribe to our new show, The Big Red Button.
Interesting, to say the least.
It's very interesting. I kind of want to, instead of explaining how this begins, I kind of just want to show people.
Auto-generating. Entry 111. Calibrating. Calibrating. Unique New York. Unique New York. What do we do when the abyss calls? Testing, testing, testing. This recording assumes the author known as Sugar Beard. We answer.
And that is the first snippet you kind of hear of this video.
Yeah, it definitely you get, you know, robot vibes.
Yeah, I mean, what's it calibrating? Why is it doing vocal warm-ups if it's a robot? It sounds like
my Siri having a bad day.
Yeah. Unique New York. But it's followed by a guy that just repeats the exact same thing, who is very clearly not like a robot or a computer or an AI. And after that's all done, it just launches into this guy's, like,
story.
It's like a voice diary, kind of.
Yeah, he's telling a story in, like, chapters.
More or less,
like,
yeah.
Like a diary. I guess that is a good way of putting it.
And I think it's more of, like, an audio diary, audio journal, just because he doesn't go back to edit anything. And it, you can definitely tell that he fucks up a lot of what he's saying, and then he just, like, repeats what he just said, like he's trying to make a second cut for it, but never goes back and finishes it.
That's exactly what I was thinking. It sounds like when, like, if you were to say a sentence like, I'm saying this sentence, and you fuck it up, and you're like,
I'm saying this parafruit.
He will say something like, instead of I'm saying this sentence, he'll be like, I'm saying this sentence, and like repeat himself, but it's left in. Like he's supposed to cut it later.
Yeah, I mean, we do that shit all the time.
Yes, spoiler. But we do cut it.
Actually, no, we record every episode perfectly live, and flawlessly. One take. Yeah, every episode is, the recording time is the exact same time as the episode length. It's...
Don't give away the movie magic.
You have to be good at what you do.
We definitely didn't break to take the dog outside.
None of that happened.
No, those are my allergies.
Yeah, Mike's allergies. Dirt. You need to go outside.
But yeah, it definitely is like, it gives off the impression to me that this person's like reading off a script.
Yeah.
You know?
And
he's fucking it up.
The very first part doesn't fit at fucking all. Like, you don't know why they're saying unique New York.
I'm assuming they say it to calibrate, you know, something.
So you do eventually get kind of an idea of what this AI is kind of calibrating. As it goes through, it tells the story of this guy who is going to college, and he seems kind of like a little bit of a misfit, and he gets offered this job. Literally just listening to audio recordings for a company or platform called Shoutbox. And he's like, yeah, it's a pretty cool gig because I can work from home and I don't have to leave my dorm and I can still go to class and I make a bunch of money and it's awesome.
Yeah, they give him like $10 an hour.
Yeah.
And he just sits there and just listens to stuff.
I mean, in college, I think I was making like $4 to $5 an hour or something doing the, like the campus oppression, work.
The oppression of modern college.
Yeah, we could go off on a rant about capitalism all goddamn day long. Maybe we'll start a podcast.
We need to dismantle the establishment. Bored by bored.
But no, like he starts talking about how he goes to this like gathering and he goes to this other party and he talks about his life and then he starts talking about what it's like to work for Shoutbox. And you kind of find out that he gave up drinking for a long time, and then listening to whatever audio recording he listened to drove him back to drinking. And he says, like, I had drinks tonight. And
yeah, you can hear him. He sounds drunk.
He's drunk.
Some of these, too. He's like, yeah. I've downed almost a whole bottle of Jack.
Mm-hmm.
First time having a drink in 5 months, and it's like, oof, buddy.
Yeah.
Back on the wagon.
So, like, what are these recordings? But then it goes forward, and he starts talking more about, like, a girlfriend. I forget, Callie, I think, is her name?
I believe so, yeah.
And then he talks about going to this coffee bar, and it's full of hipsters, and it's like, there's a concert going on.
Yeah,
like,
he is in the Portland area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he dialed the dream survey and left a weird dream about it.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, not to call back to our first episode, but this portion does give off futile vibes pretty strong,
especially with this next part.
Yeah.
So he goes to this like hipster coffee shop with his girlfriend and there's a show playing and it's just this little tiny setup in the back of the coffee bar. He makes a very, very, very like adamant point that it's not a coffee shop. It's a coffee bar.
You'd know if you lived in Portland.
Right. And after a while, like the headlining band comes on and his girlfriend's watching it and he says like, I just need some air. And he walks outside and he sees these, what he describes as like Korean telephone booths that kind of pique his interest a little bit. He gets away from the people and he like has a moment to himself and he sees these things. He walks over to them and he notices that it says Shoutbox. Kind of, it's not very legible, but it's inscribed like in the booth. And he goes to touch the door and it like it vibrates a whole bunch and he's weirded out by that. And then somebody opens the door. And says, ha-ha, Mike, she's all yours. And yeah. Walks out.
You're next.
It's like what the fuck? And that's when he kind of steps inside. And, Mike, I know you have a little bit more info than I do on this. What happens when he steps inside?
So when he steps inside, he gets this, like, robot voice that does sound kind of similar to the one that we heard in that audio that you played. And it says essentially like, hey, you're free to confess whatever you want here. It's recorded. Say whatever you want.
Oh, it's like a confessional.
Yeah, it's a confessional, which that's why it brings me back to Futel.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. And he talks about how he misses his dog. And he misses this girl named Agnes, or Angie, sorry.
Angie.
Misses
misses this girl named Angie. And he's like, fuck it, I'm done. And he goes to walk out, and he just goes on with his day. It isn't until later when he's doing his job, which is, again, reviewing audio. Throughout, this whole video is an hour long. Throughout the video, there are, like, random snippets of, like, other people talking.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah. Right in the beginning, like, maybe, like, 13 minutes in, there's just a guy that just goes, I'm addicted to Minecraft. It's like, what the fuck does this have to do with anything?
That, if you think Mike's being facetious, that was a legit, decent impersonation of what this sounded
like. And it's like, what the fuck does this have to do with anything? But you realize as you go, that's his job. He's listening to confessions that other people have done in these booths. And the way you find that out is he's doing his job one day and he hears his own recording and he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, he put two and two together. I work for a company that is called Shoutbox. I went into a Shoutbox. This must be what I've been hearing this whole time.
Right.
So throughout this whole hour-long video, you'll hear other people's confessions just sprinkled in. Mm. So he messages, like, his boss, and he's like, yo, I just heard my name. Like, I mean, I heard my own audio. What's up with that? And his boss is like, don't you ever go back to these shout boxes ever again. You're not supposed to be in there. You're not supposed to listen to your own audio. Like, prepare to hear from HR. And he's like, fuck you. Like, he gets pretty pissed about it. He's like, well, fuck you. Like, no one told me this.
Right.
I didn't sign an NDA or anything. Like, I can do whatever I want.
And they're like,
And he just starts causing, like, issues with the, like, HR department and everything.
Yeah.
But essentially, he just starts, leaving these little, like, vlogs about, or like, these little audio snippets about, you know, every day that he's at work, he's like, man, it's so weird, like, listening to these people's confessions, listening to what these people want. He literally says, it's like, I'm a god that can't do anything to help these people. I hear their wants, their needs, their sins, and I can't do anything to help them.
It's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah, and that's what causes him to start getting back into heavy drinking. He's like, it's hard listening to all this stuff.
I could see that. So, like, where does it all culminate to? Does it have, like, a climactic ending?
So, yeah. So, after a couple, like, I guess, inputs from him, each one is labeled. Like, there's, like episode one, episode two, episode... They're all labeled, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up until, I think it's, like, 30 or something.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting, like, close to the end, and you hear a recording from Angie, this woman that he mentioned before. You hear her say, like, oh, hey, I miss you, can't wait to see you, I love you. And then you hear him just, after that, he gets pissed. He's like, what the fuck? I can't believe they played that shit. What kind of mind games are they trying to play?
Mm-hmm.
He like goes to email his boss, Michael, and he's like, I'm not playing this shit. Angie died over a year ago. How could I hear her voice now? How is that her voice? Is she even dead still?
Mm-hmm.
And so he emails Michael, he gets nothing back. After that point, because he keeps harassing like HR and like Michael about why the fuck he heard his dead ex-girlfriend at this point's voice, that's when the company starts kind of like stepping in. Like he gets emails about how he's being terminated. The police are showing up to his dorm when he's not there. He gets court-martialed. The like company like finds a way to like freeze his student loan assets and his bank assets, so they like fuck him up. It's like a fucking like Snowden type
it's
of
like
situation.
A Requiem for a Dream.
I've never seen it, but okay.
Not so much with the freezing like assets, but same kind of downhill tumble that
AS to AS.
Yeah.
Oh,
God.
It definitely seems like that. Like, this company is like, oh, shit, he stumbled upon something he wasn't supposed to. Damn. We gotta get rid of this person. And so he kind of goes on the run, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
He actually, his boss, Michael, quits. He gets in touch with that boss, and he realizes that boss was going through the same type of thing that he was. So they kind of pair up to figure out what the fuck is going on with this company. At the end of everything, it's them getting, they find their way to the headquarters of this company, and they go into the headquarters, and they're like, you know, we're going to go in just hoping that they just stop whatever they're doing and leave us alone. We'll apologize. We'll work out a deal with them if we have to. And then it just ends. The audio ends with a woman saying, thank you both of you for coming back to us. Let's try to move past this as best we can.
That is spooky.
Mm-hmm.
So after this video called Shoutbox, the next entry on this hidden index is something called Transmissions from the Homestead. And this is, you can find this in two locations. The first one is in this little hidden index, and the second one is, you're going to have to dig a little bit deeper to get there. I'm not going to share where it is, but it's like a scrolling text. It's got like that classic 80s internet tech wave background. If anyone's seen Hackerman, or not Hackerman, Kung Fury, the Hackerman portion where he hacks him into the internet. It looks like the background looks just like that.
This is the, just follow along with the public library part probably, because this is the easiest way to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You can see all the text as opposed to waiting for it to scroll through it.
Yeah, once you click on the Transmissions from Homestead, it gives you five different links you can click on that give you this full portion.
Right. Or you can just click on the archive, which takes you through the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
And so it starts off with, what was the date, Mike?
The date was 062229.
So, right off the bat, like 29. Nope. we're not. We either haven't arrived there or we've long or since been passed there. It. Yeah. And in my opinion, when I started reading this, I kind of lean more towards like the 1929 just because of the setting. So, it talks about this man named Wesley Carnahan, mainly initial WC. And he ends all of his little entries like this. And so this is another like journal entry from either somebody from 1929 or 2029. I'm not sure.
You be the judge.
It does talk a lot about a little AI companion that he calls Turkey, which like is like a drone.
Yeah, he describes it as like a bumblebee the size of his fist.
Right. And he also says that people might be afraid of seeing it, which, again, 1929, I feel like they'd be way more terrified of a fist-sized bumblebee drone than 2029, because we have those already.
Yeah, there is a point, because the whole thing is that he calls it the homestead. It's like his house flooded.
Yeah.
So he goes to stay at this inn, but he like sent the bird turkey thing.
Was it called Cadence is the town?
Yeah, Cadence. Yeah. Cadena, something like that. Cadence, Cadena.
I think it's Cadence.
He sent like the turkey drone over there to like let him know he's coming, and they almost shot it down because they weren't aware of what the fuck it was.
Right. And so it's this several, it's a long, it's
11
a lot
chapters.
Of, yeah. It's a lot of entries about this man, Wesley, who is interacting with, you know, like his one neighbor,
Cal Merrick.
Yeah. Cal Merrick. How he's trying to like drain his property with these diesel pumps, but he also has like perimeter security that this drone sets up for him, to where if something comes on his property, he gets an alert immediately, and they tell him exactly where it's from. And I'm like, it doesn't sound like 1929.
But then he also has a typewriter that he writes his like journalist articles on. So
yeah, and it's weird. It's very, very strange. But for the first few, it just talks about how like his trips to town and his trips back, and the like his. Some critter setting off the security system. And then he starts talking about these lights in the sky, followed by a crash and an ash cloud, and then nothing. And he doesn't go investigate right away, just because what happened was, is the flood happened, and he's been trying to drain his property. It started raining a whole bunch, and so he had to work extra hard. One of his pumps broke down, and this is all happening as he sees these lights in the sky. He hears the crash, and he kind of makes a mental note, like, okay, I need to go over there later. He finishes up with what he was doing. The next day, he starts heading over there, and that's when he runs into his neighbor, Cal Merrick, who says, like, hey, let's have a chat, which is a very strange chat indeed.
Yeah, he's like finishing up, like, working on his roof before he, like, goes off on this adventure, and Cal just comes up to him, because, like, I guess, like, the day before, he went to Cal's home to just check up on him, and Cal's house was just fucked up.
Just fucked.
And he's like, I'll leave a note and let Cal know that I'm thinking of him. And the next day, he sees Cal, and Cal's like, oh, yeah, I had a dream. He's like, I hope Cal's okay. And the next day, Cal just comes up. He's like, I had a dream. This, like, alien came down to me and was like, leave your house, because these creatures are going to come, and they're going to fuck your home up. So leave now. Take this backpack. It's got a purple glowy rock in it, a golden needle. And just go to town and stay there for the night. These creatures won't hurt you there. And Cal's telling our man Wesley this story, and he gives Wesley the rock, and Wesley's like, all right.
He says something cryptic, like, they said you'd know what to do with it, or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that.
They're like, you give this to the person you care the most about, and they're like, he's like, okay, so I'll give it to you, Wesley.
My horse.
Yeah. So he gives the rock to Wesley, and Wesley's like, oh, this is a warm-ass purple rock. Mm-hmm. And Cal just goes upon his day like nothing happened.
He just turns and leaves.
Like nothing happens. He's like, he didn't give a rock to Wesley or nothing. Yeah. And it's very weird, because Wesley's like, he just told me about this weird ass dream where creatures attacked his home and his home was fucked up. But he doesn't care.
Doesn't give a shit.
Apparently
not. Here's a rock.
Here's a rock. Go crazy.
I'm leaving.
Yep.
So after that, it kind of goes more into how he starts looking at the rock and he starts studying it a bit and he tries to figure out what it can be good for. And then he remembers he was fixing his property. And the rain starts up again, and he starts fixing the pumps because one of them breaks down again. And then he says some strange traveler comes by and literally walks up to him without him knowing he's even there and goes, you look like you use some help. And his wrench just broke. And this man has a wrench with him for some reason. And so they start fixing the pumps. And after not a word was said...
Yeah, they're just silently just fixing shit together, exactly. Just in the quiet.
And then afterwards he goes, like, so what's your name? And they talk a bit, and he mentions that he should visit the crater, and that he will... whatever he finds will benefit him.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, Wesley kind of, like, thinks for a sec. He turns back to him. The guy, he sees him, like, walk around his house to go leave.
And this man is, like, a man. It's, like, a tall, pale man with, like, a bowler hat.
A pale horse I ride.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's just a tall, pale man with, like, a bowler hat. That's all that's really described about him.
Some motherfucking Men in Black.
Essentially.
That was the thing I thought of.
It's Valiant Thor.
This, especially because as he goes around the corner to his house to follow this guy, keep in mind that he lives by himself. Like, there's a river near him, and it's just open land. Walks around his house, nothing.
Gone.
Just disappeared, thin air.
The only thing he gets from that guy before he leaves is he's like, you know, thank you for helping me. Can I give you money? Can I give you a drink? Can I give you anything? Like,
sad hand job?
Yeah, sad hand job, please. And the only thing he gets out of him is his name, and he just calls himself Mr. Cold.
Mr. Cold. Which... I don't know. That's a weird fucking name. Today, 1929, 2029, I don't care. It's weird as shit.
Very.
So after this, he rests for the night, and then he decides to head over to the crater. And to me, this is the most interesting part of the goddamn story. It's the very, very, very end. And so he goes to this crater, and he works his way down, and he finds something. He finds a...
It's like an engine.
Well, he describes it as, like, he thinks it's an engine.
Yeah, all he knows is it's, like, this cool blue metal.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever him and Turkey, his little, like, bumblebee drone thing, got close to it...
Word to life.
Word to life, and it shot out, like, this jolt of electricity, and it stunned his little Turkey drone thing and just knocked it out for the time. And so he just kind of put, like, a leather, like, blanket over it, and just hauled it off to his homestead, which is his, I guess, cabin.
He talked about making his current electronic situation better.
Yeah, he talks about...
Apparently enhances just instruments.
Yeah, he talked about how this thing just upgrades whatever it... sounds like whatever it touches just upgrades.
Think of, like, if you took a wrench, and then it became an arc-like spanner from D&D.
Mm-hmm. Just like, think upgrade from Ben 10. That's what it did.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it did.
Exactly. And that it doesn't really go into much more after that. He finds this thing and he says, like, this is cool.
Yeah.
And that's...
He essentially just talks about how this thing allows him to do better communication rather than the way that he's doing it now, which we're assuming is, like, paper form. And it's... The way that he's communicating is now, he calls it short term. He says that this thing will help him do long term or long range communication. So,
yeah.
We won't hear from him because he's on a different spectrum, kind of.
This is how steampunk started.
Yeah. It kind of sounds like it. Yeah.
Yeah, right? So there's a lot of weird, like, futuristic technology going on there. And old school tech, because he's using a typewriter and shit.
It's all mixed-matched.
Yeah, so 1929, 2029,
who fucking knows?
3029?
29?
But that about does it for the transmissions from Homestead. There's another one of the five links on the weird links page is something called the Trudy House.
Yes.
This link is like a complete, like, 180 from what we've been listening to as well. The Trudy House, when you click on it, you get this, basically it links to a PDF. And the PDF shows, the first thing you see is like an image with a news article from the Trudy House, which is that you see three fatalities occurred on the Trudy House property. What they say may have been a mechanical malfunction because it was close to an agricultural program of Ridge Valley University in Deptford County.
Ooh,
there it is.
Deptford County.
So once you go past the news article, you get into what looks like a, like, written account of this guy named Asher Holland's sophomore year at the university in 1994. This article is 26 pages. So I'm going to do my best to kind of sum everything up, because it's a well-written as hell. It's a very fun, like, short story. But as far as us trying to piece together what this has to do with everything else, a lot of it is kind of fodder as far as that goes. So it's about Asher Holland. He takes basically a summer class to be a groundskeeper for the Trudy House, and he basically mentions that he's a film major and that this really has nothing to do with what he's kind of going after as far as, like, what he wants to do with schooling, but he also has nothing else to do, so he kind of is doing this for the credits.
Reminds me of a Shoutbox.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it does.
Protagonist, yeah.
So, basically, he's, you know, he goes to this place with his mom, they travel out there. He's supposed to meet a guy named Professor Joel Emerson, but I guess he's pretty common as being kind of aloof and not around much, so they have a hard time finding him. He finds out that the Trudy House is at least 100 years old. It's a very well-preserved home that's kind of out of time and place, as far as just, you know, visiting older buildings and whatnot. Like, I think of, like, Naper's Settlement and shit, like, just in the middle of downtown Naperville and whatnot. But so he's there. You notice that he's kind of, like, almost chaptering.
Just giving things away where from, by the way.
Yeah, right.
One of these days,
those Germans aren't gonna know where we are. Those Germans aren't gonna know where Naperville is.
Yeah, it's a place in Illinois. Big old shit box. It's fine.
Full of racists.
Rich racists. So basically, like I said, he's at this place, but he's kind of chaptering out what's happening, almost like chapter one, chapter two.
Okay.
And you notice that sometimes there'll be just, like, this, like, out of place text at the end of a chapter, and then, like, a huge space of text, and then he doesn't really address it. He does the first time. He's like, I don't know what caused the random, like, lettering, but oh well, because he's using a typewriter to write this. So the first random spit out is NHYYTTTGV space CXZZZ. Now, me being the sleuth that I am, I've tried to put this into different ciphers, different, you know, hexes, different Morse code. I got nothing. So, moving on.
It's just gibberish.
But the further he got into staying at this house, which was going to be like a month or so's, like a month or two's kind of transition to be this groundskeeper, he starts to find out more about the Trudy house, which is the lore of the Trudy house involved monsters, magic, shady money, land feuds, Pinkerton men disappearing, and the underground movement.
Ooh.
So he gets all this like weird stuff going on in this like... Basically, the Trudy house is when class is in session, which I should have mentioned. Like right now, it's the off season, so everybody's out of class. They're at home. They're not at the place. It's a frat house.
Oh, okay.
So there's like,
it's, you party know, hard. Yeah, we just, okay.
Basically, like he meets this random woman and they're like, oh, yeah, I was at a party there like a few months back, like yada yada.
But I was looking to get fucked.
Well, he was talking to fisted by four guys.
He was talking to someone older than his mother, but that's fair.
Whoa.
Hey man, age don't matter when you party hard.
Age is just a number.
It is.
No, age is a word, stupid.
Dang.
You got me there. But yeah, so he starts to learn more about the Trudy house and kind of keeps going about his time there. And then, you know, after a few weeks, he kind of gets hit with this like small town fog is what he calls it. And he says that he almost spent like a whole day in this like weird dream state where he didn't really like have any recollection of what was happening. He ended up at a liquor store and just like kind of came to buying a bottle of liquor. And he's like, well, I'm already here, so I might as well like roll with it.
That sounds like me.
I woke up with booze in hand in front of the register. Well, I can't say no.
This is too convenient. You
can't just walk away from this.
But he doesn't mention that he drinks or smokes prior to this, so like it's just like weird that all of a sudden he's buying booze.
Yeah.
But he does meet a couple people. His friend Olivia and her friend decide that they want to come and have a scary movie night with them, basically. And so they come over to the place and they drink a little bit and they smoke some weed and they watch Night of the Living Dead. And he says it reminds him of the Trudy house a little bit because if you've ever seen Night of the Living Dead, it's this very kind of rundown shack of a house.
Yeah.
But once they go to sleep, he kind of wakes up to Olivia being like, are you okay? Like, what's going on? She said that he punched her friend in the face and that he was screaming bloody murder in his sleep. And he's like, I don't remember any of this. Like, I really have no idea. Like, I'm so sorry, yada, yada. So he kind of loses touch with those two friends for a little while, and he just starts buying weed off of Olivia, essentially. And so there's these lawn gnomes that are outside of this house. Okay.
Okay. Thanks for the world building.
I just want to preface this because he loves to sit on the deck and like smoke or have a drink and just like kind of watch the sunset and just look into the forest, and there's these like weird lawn gnomes, and like there's this big one and then it has this like little family of little ones next to it. And he always mentions that they kind of seem like they're like looking up at him, staring at him, and sometimes they seem kind of like just like devious. And
are gnomes not always looking up?
They have to, right?
I don't know. I don't care.
I don't know. I hear gnomes are dickheads, but that's for another episode.
Yeah, right.
Another cryptic corner.
Yeah.
Gnomes.
But so long story short, he starts having these nightmares of these card gnomes actually like fucking with him.
I thought you were going to say fucking him.
No.
And my butthole puckered a bit.
So at this point, he's been at the Trudy house for like a month now. Some of his duties were like fixing things around the property, and there's actually 10 acres of land surrounding this place that he's kind of in charge of, like kind of patrolling, quote unquote. But like he can never find the professor. So like his duties are very like lackadaisical. He doesn't really have anything he's supposed to be doing.
Okay.
But he does look for stuff around the house to fix, and he starts fixing things and then noticing that they're broken again, and like just these weird like anomalies that keep like kind of start happening, and they're all coinciding with him having these like nightmares.
Almost like he's
haunted.
I don't know, like a time loop of broken things.
Or sort of. But like they kind of coincide with these nightmares that he's having. So like once he starts realizing that these things are broken again, he starts waking up with like dried dirt on his hands or dried blood on his hands, or there being like sludge in the basement where he fixed like a window, and it's really, really weird. He's been there for like a month now, and he's starting to just kind of break the fuck down. He's drinking more, he's smoking more, he's fixing things that keep like becoming broken. He's having these nightmares, and then finally he goes to Olivia and he's like, please just come over one more night. Like, I just really need someone to stay here with me. Just come over. And she's like, all right, cool. Maybe we'll lay off the weed. We'll watch a funny movie and maybe do some coke. But she was being sarcastic. And then basically the last entry we have is him saying they came over. Entry done. There was three people at the house.
Oh, shit.
There's no entries after that.
You said that you but said there's one at the very beginning.
You said three people died, right?
The very first thing you see when you start reading this PDF document is that there was three bodies found on the Trudy property.
Mmm.
Look at that. Look at that. Look at that.
Oh, goose a bump.
Goose pimples.
Now, I might have missed it there for a second. Did that mention anything about the Trudy house being in Deptford?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. The Trudy house is on the Ridge Valley University's property, which is in Deptford County.
Okay.
So, really the only thing connecting all of these, aside from incredibly depressing, sad premises for all these stories, is that it's centered around Deptford County.
Pretty much.
Hmm.
Deptford's definitely starting to sound like somewhere that I'm not gonna vacation to.
Again, right? More like, the more research I do about things near Portland, Oregon, I don't think I want to go
the
there.
The more I hear about Portland, the more I hate Portland.
The more I realize that we don't need to fucking be there.
So the last archived link that we get is to one called The Vents. I'm going to try and sum this up as best as I can without giving everything away, because honestly it's a really fun listen. It's one of the YouTube videos that we find as well. It links right to it.
It seems almost like a podcast episode.
Yeah, it's like half an hour long, I think, right?
Yeah, it feels like a audio drama almost. Like, yeah, it's
very well written.
Yeah,
a common
really
theme among all of these little entries.
Yeah, very well written, as we do. So I'll try, like I said, I'm going to try and sum this up as best I can. So basically we start with what we see on the video is 7/5/1946. And basically it goes into our I'm going to call him our main character, Robert, explaining that he was on a large metal ship. Everyone was torn from the ship and pulled into this like giant like body of water. And it kind of seemed like they were all being pulled towards like a waterfall of sorts. But everything was really dark. He had no trouble breathing while he was being pulled underwater. And I don't know. He kind of mentions that it's a strange place. It's a strange time. Everything just felt strange to him. He saw these, like, once he actually came out from the water, he sees what he calls, like, mountains of water. He's kind of standing on this, like, sandbar, and he can, like, see the ship in the distance, but all this, like, these mountains of water, which I'm, like, trying really hard to picture in my mind, but...
Maybe big waves?
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe he's just being storytelling, and it's just waves, and...
Instead of saying, like, the curtains were blue, you say, like... The long navy drapes were askew with depression.
Yeah, like, definitely sounds like the tide was coming in or some shit
English
like that.
English majors.
Well, he's very adamant about these water mountains. I do want to say that.
Yeah, so, he is.
But it kind of just goes through him talking about how he was trying to get back to his ship. He tried to swim a quarter mile to this thing, but he kept being violently pushed in and out of the water. There wasn't really anything happening. And then all of a sudden he sees like these giant like fleet metal ships passing him with these cotton sails. And they just start passing him one by one. And then finally one stops and picks him up. And then they're all like docked around this pier in the middle of nowhere. But he ends this segment by saying, and then I always wake up after. Mm-hmm. So we learn that he's having this dream.
It was all a dream.
So we start skipping through all these different time jumps of our guy, Robert, kind of explaining what's going on after he wakes up. And we learn that he has this recorder that he's allowed to record his kind of thought processes in. And basically we follow this guy through this descent into what I would call madness or insanity. I don't really know for sure.
I would agree with that.
He does mention that just based on his surroundings that he thinks he's somewhere in the northwest, like Pacific Northwest. So right there, we're kind of in the same area that we've always been in with all these other stories that we're seeing. The people that have him won't tell him where he's at, and he kind of doesn't seem to think anything of that other than he's like, well, it makes sense. It's like, okay.
She explains it away by saying, well, that makes sense.
You're somewhere in the Galapagos.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, tracks. Okay. That's
fell
fine.
Asleep in Illinois, but yeah.
But basically, we get these recordings. They kind of skip like weeks or days or months even, and we get these like big time skips where he kind of starts explaining everything. There's these two main characters that are with him the whole time, Randy and Sandy, or Sammy, I'm sorry. And they both kind of seem a little crazy in their own right, which makes the whole story even better, realistically. But yeah, he kind of goes through all this stuff, and throughout it, you hear him say that he's a mechanic and that he's then a serviceman and that he doesn't know what branch he is in the military. And
doesn't he talk about, like, he, like, snaps to remembering that, like, there's a mission. Like, oh my god, I was part of the military. We were on a mission. What was the mission?
Yeah. It definitely seems like he's slowly forgetting himself, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And he brings that up at some points where he's like, when he does his recordings, he's actually like talking to a doctor or a therapist of sorts when he starts recording this. And there's parts where he's just like, you know, like, it's been almost a year or maybe two at this point. I'm not even sure. And like, you know, we started with a ton of people, but now there's only like a dozen left. Like, he's like, I'm excited that they're getting out of this place, but he's like, I want to know when I'm going to leave. And then he like will lose his mind and then we'll jump like a week later. And then he'll be like, yeah, I'm so sorry, doctor. Like, I didn't mean to snap on you. I just have these questions kind of brewing in my mind.
I think that's fair.
I didn't remember where I was, I'd probably get a little angry.
And all of a sudden, you're on a random dock in the middle of the ocean. Like, where are we? Oh, you're not telling me? Cool, I'll go insane instead.
Yeah, pretty much. And like, even at one point, like before like the first year's entry... Just slap the microphone real hard, real quick. Sorry,
Doug is abusing our audio.
this guy Randy brings him this like folder, and there's a picture in it of him, what looks to be his wife, what looks to be his mother, which he's remembering, but he doesn't know her name. He doesn't know why he has three kids in this picture. He doesn't know anything, and then he just loses his fucking shit. And then we go like we get like a week. Span without any like updates,
right?
But basically he's starting to realize that, oh shit, these timelines are moving on without him. And you hear him kind of start to come to this conclusion, and well, that's kind of like the last thing we hear from him. Mm-hmm. And then we get this weird piece of audio at the very end, which I would like to play for you guys.
Mike, are your ear holes ready?
Always.
Would you like some fuck?
Everyone take a moment. Go find some lube. Just put it directly into your ear holes. It will help the sound carry better.
Put a tooth in there.
God. You're... All right. It's no longer Mike. Mike, it's just the Tooth Fairy.
Yes. New nickname, Tooth Fairy.
Can I go by Tooth Fairy instead?
Or Orthon the Tooth Collector.
I prefer Orthon the Tooth Collector.
Can we just call you Mike the Tooth? T-O-O-F. Mike the Tooth?
I've been good. Give me that nickname.
All right. Well, Mike the Tooth.
All right. So this audio is going to give you guys kind of a big old deep dive into where this story goes and why it's so fantastical, in my opinion. So here we go.
Patient Robert Kerrigan has been dismissed from the Oracle program. He was the last officially recorded ex-Marine, and the original Robert Kerrigan's kin has been informed of our completion of the project. With Kerrigan's dismissal, we conclude the Oracle program as a neutral expenditure. We have no further information on the incident which unfolded at the Pacific location known as the Vents. The original crew of the ship lost at the site, the Unyielding Endeavor, have completed their tenure on Bainbridge Island. A ship carrying 57 servicemen and women sank in the Pacific. We knew it as the Unyielding Endeavor. However, upon bringing the news to the residences of those lost at sea, we found that they were safe, at home, spending time with their families before their next time out. One morning a week or so later, dozens of small, single, and dually operated light vessels drifted into Slate Harbor under Deptford County Port Authority. These ships were crafted from the remains of the original Unyielding Endeavor, and their operators were carbon copies of the crew, every last one of the 57. Further medical examination found that they each lacked basic identification, namely their fingerprints. A document named the Harris Findings, 1947-DCVC, details the exaggerated dilation of their pupils and the apparent lightening of the skin. Robert Kerrigan, along with his friends such as the Sammy O'Hara and Randy Miller noted in his audio log, have been eliminated from our databases. Their bodies have been disposed of, and they no longer exist, along with the rest of the crew. Their original records of death are our only public displays of information on their status as of current. When the Unyielding Endeavor sank, and the waters around that area began to churn, something odd happened. A series of seafloor vents seemed to have opened simultaneously to the ship sinking, and nearly everyone in the wreckage died in the incident. But these patients, the ex-Marines chronicled in this log, suddenly showed up one day on the shores of Bainbridge. They were not the same sailors on board. They were lacking fingerprints and severely deprived of any cognitive or personal information from the last decade of their lives. These were not the same patients lost in the incident. Whatever happened at the vents gave new life to those lost in the storm. Whether benevolent or something more sinister, we may never know.
So that audio is probably the best part of that whole video, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of ties everything together.
Yeah, it really does kind of show why these people don't remember why they're there.
Yeah, and I definitely highly recommend take the time, listen to the 30-minute like video. It's really, really fun. As far as that goes, though, I do want to mention that basically what we're... this is called the vents because when you're listening to it, you hear about this ship being sucked into the vents, which you kind of heard in that audio.
Yeah, by the vents, you mean... what do you mean?
So it's these sea vents.
Oh, like thermal vents opening up and yep. like boiling water and shit.
So when all this happened, the ship gets pulled in, which you, like I said, you heard in that audio at the very end.
Right.
The ship gets pulled into these vents, and that's kind of where they grab the name
yeah,
from.
Yeah, the waterfalls
yep.
are thermal vents,
yeah,
it seems
yeah.
like.
Okay.
It kind of seems like they're trying, like, there's a little hint of, like, a cult action, because I think one of the other, like, sailor guys that get dragged in mentions, like, the children of the vents.
Yeah, Randy does in, yeah, the, in the story. Yeah.
So it's even got, like, a fun little cult twist to it.
Yeah, it's
pretty weird.
Love me some cults.
And they do actually mention that, well, you, like I said, when you heard in the audio, that Dr. Abigail is reporting from Bainbridge Island, which is, like, a pretty local...
Where's that? Where's that located there, Doug?
Washington. Nonny?
So by, you know, Deptford County.
Yeah, which they also mentioned.
Yeah, they
the
mentioned
last
Deptford
part
County.
Of it. Yeah, they sure did. Mm-hmm. So there we go. It's full-assed circle.
It's just fucking... It's weird that all these strange-ass stories are centered around Deptford County.
It's a very Twilight Zone feeling.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Speaking of Twilight, I feel whenever I have a couple drinks of my own, I put myself in a Twilight when I go to bed. There are some times when I sleep that the overall sense of calm and nature take over, and I experience...
The sheets start to rise.
The sheets start to rise, and almost like a tent. But I start to experience these dreams almost... I wouldn't say lucid for myself because I'm not in full control.
Have you ever tried lucid dreaming?
I have not.
All the time, actually.
I have as well. I can't fucking get it down.
If you can lucid dream, you can astral project yourself. That's one of the things that I tried to do very, very often, but it's hard to know when you're doing that.
It's, yeah.
I've had it happen one time. I do know of one of our fellow podcasters that talk a little bit more about lucid dreaming, though.
Oh my god, I'm actually very, very excited. That, the
Dream Stream?
Yeah, Dream Stream is a podcast that got a hold of us and wanted to just talk about each other on each other's podcasts, and I think that it fits super fucking well, considering A, our very first episode was about the Dream Survey.
Fits perfectly.
Yeah, exactly.
He's actually going to be divulging into my dream that I had on the Dream Survey, so hopefully he doesn't tell me that I'm like weird or along those lines.
He doesn't need to say that. It's just apparent.
I also have another dream that he can use if he wants to. It's the only somewhat lucid dream I've ever had in my entire life. So if he wants to use that, he is more than welcome to ask us, and I will give him a rundown of what happened. But it's very interesting listening to him talk about how his experience with lucid dreaming goes.
Yeah, it's his whole podcast is about, I think it started with him attempting to lucid dream and kind of sharing his experiences about it.
And yeah, and him practicing over each episode, you see like the improvement, you know what I mean?
I know that all of you out there listening to us tend to spark up a dube while listening. I would highly recommend doing that to his.
Get yourself a fucking
roll up a baby's leg.
baby's leg. There it is.
But it's he also takes submissions. So if you go to a Dream Stream and you submit your, you know, lucid dream, you might end up on his show. And yeah,
get a hold of him. Like, if you have some weird dreams, please get a hold of him. He would love to hear from you, and we would love to help him out, because I honestly think this is a awesome idea for a podcast.
Yeah, check this dude out. It's super fun. Dreams are just weird.
Obviously, you like
submit
weird.
Submit your dream.
Yeah, you're here, so you like weird. Go check out Dream Stream. His content is top-notch. It's fantastic. He's a great job of incorporating listeners' dreams. He's very engaging with his audience. So, if you listen and you decide, you know what, I've had some fucking weird-ass dreams in the recent, you know, weeks, please share them with him. Let him know what's going on. He will feature your dreams on his show. He'll talk about dreams. He'll try to lucid dream. You'll learn a whole bunch. So please, go listen to Dream Stream.
You can find him on his Linktree as well, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure his Linktree is just linktree.com/DreamStream.
Yeah.
And
Facebook, Spotify, yep, that's Apple the best Podcasts. Way to find like, him. There's a whole bunch.
Yep, that's the best way to find him.
Please, 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 please go listen to him. He took the time to reach out to us.
Allergies, sorry.
Mike, you gotta stop barking.
I know. I need a Ricola.
I know.
Benadryl so I can lucid dream.
There you go.
Or take some Ambien.
Or yeah, Quaalude or two.
That'll give you some real good dreams.
He took the time to reach out to us and say, like, hey, I think that you guys have a really cool idea.
Let's get back to the pod.
Yeah, let's go check out Dream Stream. Yeah. Let's head back into
Deptford County.
Please.
So there's a couple other things that we kind of go from off of these hidden archives, if you will. What's the weird one that we see?
So, what is it, Mike?
So sorry.
Have you found the page?
No.
Are you there yet?
I'm giggling because I'm putting in the password to the tablet here, and I just hear boop, boop, boop.
Yeah,
Doug's talking to me, so sorry. No, there. So. On the page with the transmissions from Homestead, if you click on transmission, I believe it's 2. If you click on, if you drag your mouse over to it and hold over to it, you get these 2 side tabs that drop down. You get one to these things, to 2 links. One connects you to Moonbog. The other connects you to a Twitch account. Moonbog, it seems like a news article page. doesn't really have much to do with what we've been going over here. It's mainly some guy just writing articles about how much he hates, like, Trump. And
it's just cult-like.
Yeah.
One of the images you see is, like, Trump screaming with a bunch of hate words behind them.
Yeah, it's very, like, I don't want to say propaganda, but yeah, it does
you
have
can,
that.
Though.
Well, yeah, I will.
It's almost like a weird outlet for whoever's writing these articles, because, like, just going through some of them, you see one where he's, like, almost shitting on Kobe Bryant dying.
Yeah.
Which, like, I was like, what the
it's
fuck?
Like, it's like this moonbog is just for this guy to just vent, but in kind of a nice, like, journalistic point of view, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, not like tell, deep ocean vents, like...
Oh, yeah, like we just mentioned.
Gotcha.
Yes. But it's like he's very... He knows how to write, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he just writes about weird shit. Everything is different. He talks about, like, I think he talks about, like, the four horsemen of the apocalypse at one point, if I believe.
There's one article that follows, like, a specific murder. Like,
yeah,
it goes on and
just
on
a bunch
and
of,
on.
Bunch of weird shit. Other than that, there's that much to the moonbog. It's very basic, just a guy ranting in what looks like a news article format. That's about it.
There's one more. So when you were talking about that clickable drop down link,
yeah, there's two of them. There's Moonbog, and there's the second one, which is
the second one.
Segway
takes you. Yep. What's the fastest way to get around town?
Scooter. A bird scooter.
You're probably right.
Yo, bird scooters are the shit. When I went to Gen Con in 2019, those things were fucking lit. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, I was zipping around downtown
just
Indianapolis.
Fucking leave it wherever,
like,
you want.
Just fucking
call it a day.
Well, you know what? You don't leave it anywhere. You leave it in a fucking zone.
You'd be a civilized
station.
Person.
A bird nest.
Dude, no. Not even kidding. So, the streets in Indianapolis, just have to say this, they have these, like, red and green, like, pieces of the street where your bird scooter goes faster. So if you're driving
shit.
On the sidewalk, you're going at, like, one set speed. But if you're on the street in this zone, you go fucking, you're just fucking flying.
Yeah, it's like in Mario Kart when you're on the green arrows going forward, you go faster rather than the red ones going down.
They're making Mario Kart in real life with scooters.
It's fucking awesome. That is all. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Anyway, second tab. What is
second
this
tab. So the first one goes to Moonbog, which is just a bunch of political bullshit. The second one goes to a Twitch channel by the name of Mozan Marzipan.
I love Marzipan.
And at first, when you first click it, it shows zero videos or this user is not online, so you can't view anything. If you click around a bunch, you do find one video. It's a 30-second video of him, like, mixing some songs together for, like,
actually him, or is it like a screenshot of his computer?
It's like a screen cap of his desktop.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's like you can't see him. That's all it is for 30 seconds, is just that. And when I saw this, the, you know, internet investigator in me went, why is this here? This is, again, none of the things on this page fit together, really.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, I mean, good writing. Deptford County.
Yeah.
It's about it.
Does that go anywhere else, the Twitch thing?
Well, it did. It led me to a few places. At first, I was like, this is leading me nowhere. This is leading me nowhere. I spent a solid 4 hours just kind of trying to get to the bottom of this shit, which is why I didn't exactly know all of my topics this week. So thank you, Mike, for picking up the slack.
Well, of course.
But so I found this... this Twitch user, Mozan Marzipan.
Did you just do what I did and literally just copy paste that name into, like, Twitter and Facebook and everything and see what came up?
I typed in, like, Mozan Marzipan. I typed in Mozan Marzipan Deptford. I typed in Mozan Marzipan Twitch. I typed in a bunch of search terms. Eventually, I got to a Twitter account under the same-ish name. It's slightly different, but it's definitely the same person. I compared the profile pictures between the Twitch and the Twitter. Mozan Marzipan is an alias for the author of a short story by the name of The House of Fletcher.
Ooh.
I didn't know what the fuck this had to do with anything at first. And so, like, I looked at that. I go, okay, that's kind of cool. Why are you a part of this? Right? Like, out of all the things, why are you embedded in this back end part of the website?
Yeah.
And I looked a little bit more into the House of Fletcher. In the House of Fletcher, it's all centered around a building called the Benjamin Macy Memorial Hospital. Now, if we go way back to the Tumblr, which you got to from the very basic the public library website, the first image you see is a dilapidated old stone building with the title of Benjamin Macy Memorial Hospital.
I'm sorry to cut you off. I just had like a fucking
brain. I saw it in your face.
I just had a brain melt for a second.
Your brain came all over the table.
They mentioned that hospital in the, what video is that?
You got three choices.
The one that I just watched today.
Shoutbox?
Shoutbox, yes. He mentions he works near that, or he lived near that.
Oh, shit. See, I didn't even catch that.
That's what I was talking about. We were talking off microphone about a connection between the two. I thought it was a bridge. It was the hospital. That's gotcha. What it was.
So, Benjamin Macy Memorial Hospital is a picture on, like, the landing page for Deptford County. If you Google search that, you will pull up two things. One is this current website that we're viewing, the Deptford County site for the public library, that leads you to all these back-end bullshit links. The other one is for a short story called The House of Fletcher.
Ooh.
Now, for me, this is probably the first big lead that we've gotten on this whole fucking thing. If you read through The House of Fletcher, you see that it's about a group of children, not children, like teens, I guess, that go visit this abandoned hospital in a place called Deptford County.
I was still getting over the fact that I was mind blown that I remembered that the hospital was in here and in the shout box.
Well, there's a lot of random connections that we, like, haven't really talked about as far as that goes.
There are. I mean, there's a ton of connections, but
they're very small.
And
each connection is very small.
As of now, they don't matter.
Nope.
At all.
Nope.
And you'll see why a little bit later when we go through, like, what we all kind of think about what this is. So this hospital is kind of a star location in this short story called The House of Fletcher. If you look up who wrote The House of Fletcher, it brings you to a Twitter handle by the name of Mozan Marzipan, which matches the Twitch stream that is linked directly into this hidden archive.
Nani?
This is his Twitter and Twitch handle. So, being the curious fellow that I am, I decided to tweet at him with the link to the Deptford County site that we've been deep diving here.
Diss you.
And I just said, you know anything about this? And that's it. And he literally replied back with two words, just fish compost. Which, if I'm being honest, I could not have asked for a better reply.
I would say, not only is that the funniest fucking thing, but that's a pretty solid confirmation. Considering there is that fish compost.
He at least post. Took a look at the link I sent him.
Yeah, right.
Which I wish he would have said something more telling to say, like, hey, yes, I'm a part of this. But he didn't. He just said fish compost. And it's on the page that I sent him, so he could have just pulled it from there. One of the things that I've been thinking, though, is there was a random string of letters in one of these posts, yeah? Which one was it? Doug, right? Which one was the one with the random string of letters?
That was the Trudy House. So, like, yeah, there's, like, random, like, it was
just
letters
gibberish,
and
right?
Commas and periods, like, that don't really... I couldn't decipher, basically.
So there is a certain cipher that uses a key to decipher it. I was kind of thinking that if you put fish compost as the key and then plugged that string of random bullshit into it, it might spit something out. I'm not sure.
It's very possible.
This is literally a thought that I had like 20 minutes ago. So,
I mean, we can definitely check it out.
Or, you know what? Even better, you guys can check it out. If one of you sleuths out there decides that it's worth your time digging into, I mean, this is all over the Reddit, subreddit ARG. Like, people talk about this and are like, what is this? And
I don't fucking know. That's the thing. I wouldn't even say this is all over that subreddit. This is pretty damn niche.
Yeah. Well,
would you say we're at the conclusion here?
I mean, yeah, I was going to say you kind of name dropped the, ARG Reddit.
Yeah. I don't mean to say that this is an ARG. What I mean, like, I've been searching through Reddit to find out what exactly this is. Like, I tweeted the fucking author of a short story that shares a name with the city that we're researching right now.
So
like,
this
is all long shots.
Let's have some fun here. Let's play the game that we played last time. On the count of three, let's say real or fake. One, two. Oh, you know, on go. Sorry.
Come on,
go.
Man.
One, two, three, go. Ready? One, two, three, go.
Fake. Yeah. To me, this seems like the world building stage of any kind of story.
Like an author.
If you do any fucking research into this, you will find out that none of these places exist, none of these people are real.
If you even look into the transmissions from the transmissions fucking link,
yeah.
if you read the transcripts, there is a point where they actually kind of give you the fucking location of where the homestead is, which is based in Deptford. But he tells you it's 14 miles from here. East, two miles north.
Like,
he
gives sea level orientation.
Yeah, it's like negative
.042 or something like that. Yeah.
Gives you all this information you need to know to find out where exactly Deptford would be in the Seattle, Washington, Oregon area. And again, you found this fucking author to it. I think this guy's just trying to fucking advertise for his writing.
I agree. So, me being who I am, I tweeted at him. Saying, do you know about this? He literally just replied, fish compost. I don't know what that means. There's no strong leads to any of this.
Now,
what does fish compost mean?
A lot of these stories, I get strong, strong Stephen King vibes from this. Because not only do all these stories take place in one area, like Deptford, like Stephen King does in Maine, but in all Stephen King novels, they all kind of have like a slight hint towards the other novels. Like, you have the turtle, you know, from all Stephen King things. In this one, you get a hint towards being a journalist. You have a journalist here. You get a hint towards, you know, boats in this one. And this one, you get a lot of small school in a school. You get very small hints
in all of them. World building. Like,
it's world building.
Writers everywhere. That's how they start. You start with, I mean, look at a fucking J.R.R. Tolkien. He started with a language.
Dwarven. Tolkien.
Whatever.
Fucking pleb.
He started with a language.
Yeah.
Which moved on to a culture, which moved on to a region, which moved on to a country, which moved on to a whole fucking world. And that's how you start all of these things. So to me, it's a giant world-building exercise.
It sure is.
And I really, one of the biggest things is I hope this dude wrote all of these short stories and like these different, like, I guess other parts
like
of it, because they're so well written. We're in an ongoing story building process, like we've kind of mentioned here.
Yeah, it literally had an update 2 days ago.
Yeah,
yeah.
Also, look at this shit, because as we were looking at this, it had like 130 views per episode or something.
Yep.
It's very low key. Check it out. It's very fun, very interesting.
Hidden.
Just look at it, because this is really cool world building for a story that this guy's obviously trying to tell.
And it's been going for a fucking
7 years.
Minute. Yeah, it's
7 years.
So hopefully, you know, it picks the pace up a bit.
Please, I don't want to have to come back 7 years from now being like, all right, so do you guys remember what we talked about 7 years ago?
Also, remember,
what's that, Sonny?
If you're going to look it up, remember it's Deptford County, Deptford.
Not Deptford Township.
Yeah.
New Jersey. That is a real place, yeah. New Jersey.
Not, God, we keep going back to these fucking... All right,
New Jersey and Oregon. Like, those are the two fucking areas that we specialize in, apparently.
Yep. We are nowhere near either of these places, mind you.
We have no business talking about them.
Well, boys, I just want to say, how do you want to finish this off?
Well, I'll let you two go first. Okay. I've got mine.
So, I will say, I want you to take your toothbrush... Run it under some hot water. Sorry, okay, I dropped my toothbrush. I was getting prepared. I was in the moment. Take your toothbrush, like I just did. Run under hot water. Scrub your friend's teeth. And if you can't find a friend, scrub your pet's teeth.
Also, if you think that's not what we're doing directly after we end this,
you're dead wrong!
Oh, buddy.
Yeah, blow your Audi out with that one.
You take your beans... You take your pins, you mix them together, and what you have is the facts.
It's a fruit salad. Yummy, yummy.
Of Peebus. And I just want to introduce this new product. It's Peebus with extra fizz.
Crispy Peebus.
Crispy Peebus. I mean, I'll obviously always, always, always stay paranoid. But as we kind of roll out of here, I would like to enlighten all of you to the wonders of fish composting.
No,
we are absolutely doing this.
Look us up at Duality Pod. If I had
to
fucking
look up how to do this and what it is, we're hearing about it.
You can find us at Duality Pod everywhere you go. Go to our linktree.com/Duality Pod. Look at our YouTube channel. Don't look on the internet. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's all Duality Pod. Just look up Duality Pod. You'll find us.
Smash that like button. Ring that bell. Like
button.
Stick your dick in
to a fish. I'll rub your tummy. I won't kiss it because HR. I'll rub your tummy.
Right, you guys are just putting off the fish compost.
No, yeah. Yep. The music's already playing. It's going over you right now.
Fish compost, go.
So, fish composting is achieved by using 3 parts carbon to 1 part nitrogen.